All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor. And still your brother Godson Chukwuebuka Oba. God bless you. This is Shalom, Pastor. My Christian life has never been the same since the Lord led me to the message of the hour through the Bright TV. Oh, wonderful. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise God. Two questions. We know that the Spirit of God entered Mary's womb and prepared the body, Jesus Christ. Now, does Jesus have his own spirit like we men have, in addition to the Holy Spirit?
Sure. If he doesn't have his own spirit, what gives him life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You are not a human being without the human spirit.
Okay.
So they go together.
Okay.
What makes the human being living is the spirit that dwells in him.
Mm.
And that is why he said, I and my Father are one.
Amen.
And remember that even in conversion, it is the Spirit of God coming with our spirit, you know, mingle with our spirit to be able to cause us to live a life pleasing before God.
Amen.
So sure, he had his own spirit, just as he had his own will. For he said, not my will, but your will, O Lord, be done.
All right, God bless you. So question two from the same person says, were the disciples baptized in the name of Jesus before the death of Jesus or after the death of Jesus, as we see in the case of Paul?
Certainly, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Certainly.
Okay. The question is, was it before?
It will be after, I mean to say. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It will be after his resurrection that they now understood.
Okay.
Before Christ paid the price for redemption on the cross on Calvary.
Okay.
He was not our propitiation.
Okay.
He was the lamb yet to be slain.
Okay.
Until that lamb is slain, the sins are not remitted.
Okay.
So the sins are not atoned. So certainly, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was only after his death, his burial and resurrection.
Okay. The last question from Brother Edmund. Again, do they do John's baptism of repentance?
Certainly. That's what everyone was doing
okay.
until Christ resurrected.
Okay. Okay. So that answers the question I was going to go to.
Sure.
All right. God bless you, Brother Edmund from Ghana. All right. We have another question. It says, Shalom, my pastor. In Brother Olumide's Sunday school class of yesterday, 31st October 2021, he asked us not to follow the presentation of Mount Zion themes and such like concerning the chaos that will occur on earth after the rapture. He opined that the rapture is going to be a secret event, and as a result, all postulations of chaos and commotion occurring on the earth after the rapture are unfounded. My own understanding is that there will be chaos and commotion on earth after the rapture as a result of the sudden disappearance of the expectant bride of Christ. Chaos will come to be, for example, if a faithful believer in Christ is driving a bus loaded with passengers and such driver is caught up in the rapture. Such a bus will sustain an accident and may even collide with other vehicles on the road, thus causing chaos and commotion. Or take another example, if the pilot of a passenger plane disappears with the rapture and the plane crashes on a busy big city, okay, won't there be chaos in such a city? Please, sir, weighed in on this point, Brother Omolayo, an online member from Adu Ekiti, Ekiti State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too. The Bible let us, in Luke chapter 17, I want you to catch something.
Okay.
Read it from verse 26.
Okay. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all.
Did they know when Noah entered the ark?
No, they didn't.
They were busy doing their thing. So while God was dealing with the elect, they didn't know. So there was no commotion. The commotion only came in fact, remember that he was even locked up there for 7 days.
Yes, before the flood.
Before the day of the Lord. It's a perfect time.
Okay.
Now, the next verse, 28.
Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lord, they did eat, they drank, They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
Did they know when Lot was leaving the city?
No, they didn't.
Oh, no, no. So that is the setting that is put in there for us to understand.
Okay.
Now, there are two comings of Jesus Christ ahead.
All right.
There is the coming of the Lord. That is when he will hang in the air.
Okay.
As we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yeah.
To receive us there. Verse 16 says so. He is there to say, come up hither.
Amen. Yes,
sir. And remember that when it will happen, when it will happen, take note of that. It is only those who will hear their voice.
Amen.
Lazarus, he called the name of Lazarus, comfort. So it's a secret catchaway. Only now, but now where they are getting confused is the coming, the next coming, that is what I will call the third coming.
Okay.
Because we have three comings. One, to pay the price for redemption.
Amen.
Secondly, second coming, which is what we're expecting as a rapture, to take us away, harvest us from the earth.
Amen.
And then the third one is coming to judge the earth. That is the one, the Bible says, all eyes shall see him.
Amen.
And there will be wailing, there will be weeping when they will see him coming on horses, white horses, together with us to take over the earth. So, concerning going now, take note that the driver of that vehicle, or the pilot, or the train driver, whatever it is, he will be aware it is time to go, so he won't be in the car then. There is instructions that we shall receive to go. So, don't let that trouble you. It becomes an affair. Because before we go in the rapture, there is what we call the rapturing faith.
Amen.
It is the faith that gets you prepared to go home. That period, you will not be driving a car. There will be instructions which are here.
Yeah.
And then we will position ourselves. When we shall be positioning ourselves, the whole world will be busy doing their politics. There will be church services. There will be revival meetings going on. There will be revival meetings that will be going on. So, let your heart not be troubled. There will be no chaos. There will be no commotion. It is a wrong representation of what we're expecting to happen.
Amen. Okay, still, okay, we have a call. Brother Moses from Delta State. Shalom and God bless you, sir.
Brother Moses has said that God has told him to revisit his message. So I want to know the one that God has so that I will not be confused when there is the first issue.
God bless you. Now, I did know Brother Moses from where? From
Delta State.
Delta.
Delta.
Yes. Yeah. Brother Moses, I did not say that God told me to revisit my teachings. I didn't say so. I said that in the light of further revelation, in the course of studying the scripture, the Lord has granted me deeper understanding that needs us to correct some misrepresentation and misinterpretation of some scriptures. And that is what I am doing. And so you are asking, when will that take place? I said, just continue to listen to the messages we shall be preaching, and then you will get to see where we are making certain corrections as we go along. Watch the messages we have been preaching throughout this year, from the beginning of this year, from late last year to the beginning of this year until now. You will notice that we have tried to present properly, although fornication took place in the Garden of Eden, for instance, but we know that the original sin, we used to teach the original sin was fornication between the serpent and the woman Eve. But I say in the light of further revelation, because you know, you move from faith to faith, revelation to revelation, you know, precept upon precept. We sometimes limit ourselves to what some other people teach us. That is where we sometimes make mistakes, even when God is showing you something. That's the problem with the denominations too. They don't want God to clarify scriptures for them. Now, when you look at it, you discover that the eating in the Garden of Eden, it was not the fornication, but fornication is as a result of what they ate. So the question is, what did they eat? I have taken a teaching on that so that we understand what actually the scripture mean when they say they ate. So the same eating that they ate in the Garden of Eden is the same eating Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 was saying, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So when you get proper understanding of the eating Jesus is saying there, then you will understand the eating that took place in the Garden of Eden. And then when you bring it, and you will see the fact that when God was asking, he first asked Adam, and then Adam passed the book to Eve. And then Eve put the blame on the serpent, and you will discover that he did not ask serpent what happened. He cursed him immediately. Then you will understand also why Apostle Paul said anyone that teaches anything contrary to what they have preached, let him be accursed. And then Apostle Paul took us to the Garden of Eden in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and then let us know what happened in the Garden of Eden, and that Satan has his ministers just as he had his minister serpent. Now, you know, saying things contrary to what God said, and that is why they are also accursed. So it is what is said, and that eating is still taking place now. It is not fornication, but what they ate that is producing fornication. That, for instance, then when we come to the shout of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and the midnight cry, we always match it together. In Revelation, Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, we always said that the shout, I'm just telling you some of them. There are many. You just ask him a question. I've not gone through any of this. Of course, I didn't know you were going to call to ask this question anyway. Are you with me, Brother Moses?
I'm hearing you.
Thank you very much. Now, you discover that we thought all these years that the shout was what the ministry of William Branham fulfilled. But in the light of further revelation, we say,
I'm hearing you, sir.
We are now saying that in the light of further revelation, we discover that the shout was the midnight cry. That shout was bringing out, from the dark ages, the process that is described in the parable of that Jesus Christ gave in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26, the growing seed, the restoration of the three works of grace. And that is the last three ages. We have the Sardinian church, the Philadelphian church, and the Laodicean church age. And we want to correct that teaching that says the shout only took place at the Laodicean church age, and that is William Branham that came with the shout. We are saying that in the light of further revelation, and sincerely too, and with all sense of responsibility and with all humility, we are saying that teaching is wrong. That if the first blade that shot out, we all agree, was Martin Luther with the doctrine of justification, and then sanctification, which is the next stage of that restoration in that three, was John Wesley. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, or rather the restoration of the gifts, which everybody knows took place in 1906, the Azusa Street Revival. Now I am questioning why among the followers of the ministry of William Branham, they put a name Luther to justification. They put the name Wesley to sanctification. Then when it come to Laodicea, they will say, the restoration of the gifts, they will say Pentecostal. They never put the name of a man there. That is error. And we all know that it was William Seymour that came with, that God used, just like he used the John Wesley and the Martin Luther to restore the other works of grace. And so we are placing it now, but that we are saying that there is a fourth part of that restoration, which is the perfecting ministry, when the fruit-bearing ministry, and that we look at the ministry of William Branham as the man that God used to bring all the, during the Reformation, between justification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there were loopholes, there were a lot of things that were left, and people ran away like that, the Reformers. Each one believe one thing, form a denomination, believe one thing, and deny the other. It is William Branham's ministry that brought this back together for the fruit, the seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost that died at Nicaea and is now coming up. It was formed only after the perfecting ministry. And this perfecting ministry, of course, we know that it is the fivefold ministry. And William Branham spearheaded this in this Laodicean church age. And and among the things we are therefore correcting is that the fifth, the third seal, which is the black horse rider, that the third seal is a rapturing seal, verse 5 and verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6. You notice that was the dark ages. But it was in the dark age, you see the last statement there, that shall hot not the oil or the wine. That is, there will be a revival that springs up, which is the product of the shout. And that it said hot not, it was not going to be stopped. And that is what we are still enjoying till now. And it will end in the rapture. Then the fourth seal, which is the symbol of the flying eagle now, and that fourth seal is for the Jews. That is the Jewish seal. The seal belonged to the Jews when the gospel will be going back to the Jews through the Antichrist. Read it very well. You will see the tribulation taking place there. You will see the Jewish persecution taking place there. And then what, if you take it back to Revelation chapter 12, you will then see why it is called the flying eagle. Flying eagle is for the Jews, not for us Gentiles. Contrary to what we are teaching, we are saying we are eagle, because we are looking at the fourth seal, where we say it is a spirit of deceit, and that is the age where deception abounded because of false Christ, false teachings, and false word. And that therefore, it takes the eagle anointing to go through this error. Correct. But let me just tell you that as far as the chronological fulfillment of these seals are concerned, pale because it's a call of deception, because they enter the last week of Daniel, they enter a deceptive agreement, covenant, that with the Antichrist. And it was that when the persecution started, it was the two olive trees that standing before the throne of God, Moses and Elijah, that God used that anointing. And then you will see that when they were to escape in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says they went on two wings of a great eagle. That was when they flew into the wilderness. But the revelation of those two prophets represented by the two wings of the prophetic anointing, the two prophets. And they are Moses and Elijah. And therefore, you will notice that why did he say so? Because there is a prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and that promised the Jews Elijah. And by the spirit of further revelation, there is nowhere in the Bible that the Gentiles are promised Elijah. If you read from verse 1 of Malachi chapter 4, you see that prophecy was for the Jews. And that will be when the Jewish revival will start. And it starts with those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. The Moses and Elijah anointed. That is the Elijah they were expecting. Remember, he said, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet to do two things. And we interpreted it to be that the first thing is to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 17 or so, I think it's Luke chapter 1, the prophecy of John. Where he says, John, the prophecy says, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he quoted that first part of Malachi chapter 4 and then verse 6. Is Brother Moses with me? Maybe you are listening to me through the television.
I'm hearing you.
Okay, if you are hearing me, fine. Now you will discover that John the Baptist fulfilled it. Now we have been teaching all this while that the second part refers to the Gentile church.
Yeah.
Now he's talking that John the Baptist was pointing the faith of the Sadducees and Pharisees, fathers of the faith, of the Jewish faith, to what those apostolic children, they are the ones referred to as the children. And remember that was what he was doing, but the ministry was limited to the Jews. And they rejected it. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, there is a revival there. That revival that John was shown is the Jewish revival that takes place after the rapture, when the last week will be ignited, according to the program he gave Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Now, when the gospel will now come back, the faith of these Jews, now they will be restored through the ministry of this Elijah back to the faith of those apostles who have now become the apostolic fathers.
Amen.
So that what they rejected, they cannot benefit from it.
Amen.
And so there is nowhere that Elijah is promised to the Gentiles. And of course, when we talk about dispensational prophets, as far as the divine agenda is concerned, we have only two dispensations. And those two dispensations are spelled out in John chapter 1 and verse 17, where he says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Moses for the dispensation of the law, and Jesus for the dispensation
of grace.
And all others, we are only building on the prophecy of this and still following until the law came, the law ended. It was Moses.
Yes,
and until grace ends, it will be Christ, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen.
We must get this properly corrected. But in between, there are ministers that God will use. There were Jeremiah, there were Isaiah, there were all the prophets you can see in the Old Testament. So also, we will have the apostles, we will have other ministers that God will use. But the major dispensational prophet is always one. Now, the seven church ages are not dispensations. They are the moves of God under the dispensation, one dispensation. And even in the placement of the seven church age messengers, which are the star messengers, there is the theological argument of who fits into who, what age and what age. And we will not go into that because at this time in God's agenda, we are products of the restoration move. So our focus is coming out from the dark ages and returning us back to the faith of the apostolic fathers of the faith before the gospel was destroyed at Nicaea. These are some of the things we need to put together and give the bride a proper picture, and many more. This the much I can remember from just discussing with you. And as they unfold, we'll be correcting them. And please, if you disagree with me, you cannot come with a quote. And I have always said that if you call William Branham a prophet, then what? What is it that vindicates him as a prophet? It's because there is no monumental prophecy he has given. No monumental prophecy he has given. And no new revelation he brought. So, and every teaching he taught were teachings that people have already, other ministers have already laid down, but they were thrown here and here until he brought them together to give us what we call the seven-course meal. And then we are the only ones that have a balanced picture of the divine agenda because we are back, fully back to the word of God. William Branham did not come to give us another religion. He came to bring us back to the Bible. And when you come back to the Bible, through that man, William Branham, the fountain of knowledge, revelation was opened for us to now understand the divine agenda and not to be copied and pasted and then piping what he has spoken. No, 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 no. I said this with all due respect to my friends in the end time message and my brothers. We've been together for years. And what is he saying? Judge me from the Bible. Use any Bible scripture and fault what I am saying. And you will say, but William Branham said this. William Branham said this. William Branham said this. You can say anything. Anybody can say anything he wants to say. But, you know, what the Bible says shall override what anybody says, including William Branham. I hope you understand me, Brother Moses. Do you need any further clarifications?
I'm hearing what you're saying.
Are you satisfied? When did you come into the end time message?
About 1 year now.
Oh, only 1 year.
Brother Moses.
Okay, I think we have given you enough time, Brother Moses. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Moses. God bless you. So God bless you, and we'll go back into the questions. And there was a question I was going to ask based on what our sister or the person who was asking me earlier before Brother Moses called in. That was Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and where you read. I do agree with your understanding. But coming to what the person was saying, I think there seems to be a gap between what the a gap that is missing, which the denominations do not see. And I don't know if I might be right. Could we be right if we then say from verse 34, Luke 17, verse 34 to 36, which I believe is where that person and a lot of denominations pick their statement of the chaos that will happen. Verse 34 says, I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And this is where a lot of people...
They get confused because they did not read the next verse.
The next verse, okay. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
So this taking away is a revelation.
Okay.
What we believe and what we don't believe.
Okay.
You will follow.
Okay.
And now, so that's what he made it clearer. Even Matthew made it clearer. You know, see the movement, the way they've been moving, you know. Okay. So that lets you know that... all for you to know that you are doing the same thing,
okay,
and one is understanding and moving, the other one is remaining where he is. For where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather.
Okay,
so that last verse explains.
For me personally, I hope I can still go a bit further. I was looking at it from the angle of the first part, which they were thinking, which was what you explained to be definitely the world will not be aware of it. But even amidst those who were still doing, just like we have Lot. Lot left, but in the midst of those who had a perceiving of something was about to happen, there was still the foolish and the wise virgin. There was Lot and his daughters, and there was his wife who missed it up.
Perfect. Some will go all the way, some will be left behind. That's exactly.
All
yet, they are supposed to be Christians. This is now. that this is a description of the two groups of Christians.
They will not be buying and selling in this thing because they're already called out. But among those who are called out, there's still going to be another separation.
There'll be separation. And the separation where he says, what will be taken, taken where the carcass is. In the revelation. The
revelation. Amen.
The fresh revelation.
Amen.
While the others will be left.
Amen.
And that's why it is come out of her. Amen. There shall be separation.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. All right. God bless you. God bless you. All right. We have other questions coming. And this is coming from Adamawa State. Jolie Iliya Tekua from Adamawa State, Nigeria. God bless you. Say, Shalom, Pastor Moses. May God Almighty bless you and increase your ministry in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Say, please, sir, I want to know the difference between books and book. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, difference between book and books.
And they say, and books were open, and another book, which is the open. Book of life.
Life, yes.
Now, the books here, I believe, is referring to your deeds for reward.
Okay.
Where you'll be rewarded according to. It's even written there. Let's see it. Let's read it.
Okay. Verse 12 says, yes. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Yes.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it.
Those who are written in the book of life, they cannot be judged anymore because they are passed from judgment.
Okay.
So these books is record of all the nonsense.
Okay.
We are even asked to give you the reason why you'll be thrown to the lake of fire.
Okay. All right. God bless you. Question two from Julie from Adamawa State says, is it right for a woman to be a pastor? I believe probably just coming across.
They're just coming across us. Anyway. Now, when the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 13.
It says, let the woman learn in silence.
Learn where?
In silence.
I mean, learn where? It's in the church now. Okay. Learn. He's talking about salvation in the church. In silence.
With all subjection.
Subjection here is humility.
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
So, and the offices of authority in the church are the ministries in the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So, when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, leadership in the church where there are men sitting down, a woman cannot be ordained into an office to head them. And remember that it's not by mistake that the gospel, the foundation of the faith, no woman was involved. The apostolic ministry that laid the foundation. Christ himself chose them. He did not choose any of those women, not even the ones he was close to, not even his mother. It's not coincidence that even when Judas left, died, he was not replaced by any of those sisters. It was still a woman.
Amen.
I'm sorry, a man, not a woman, that replaced him. Matthias is his name. And then, so that will let you understand why, though the job of service in the temple, the office of priesthood, was given to Levi and his children. Levi had daughters and sons, but we never had a woman priestess to minister in the temple on behalf of the people. Woman was not among them.
Yes,
so also the apostles, so also now in the church, that women cannot be ordained to oversee men. And then he gave the reason.
Yes, it says, and Adam was first formed, then Eve.
The reason is what?
Adam was first formed, then Eve.
It was, that is, and remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it said the head of the woman is who?
Is the man.
Is the man. So, why will somebody that is supposed to be your head have you again heading him? That would be confusion. In the order in the church, the head of the man is Christ. So this is the order in the kingdom. And then he then gave another reason.
Okay, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
So he was taking us back to what caused the fall.
Mm-hmm.
It was a woman. The word was given to both the man and the woman. It was the woman that messed it up.
Mm.
And now the word is being restored. It is removed from the woman.
Mm.
I believe so that it will not be messed up a second
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
So until the process of redemption is over, then we can be one again.
Amen.
Because Christ himself said it, in heaven there is no marriage. So there will be no seniority.
Mm.
You will only be senior based on the crown that you will have.
Mm.
And when Christ will crown us.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Jolie Ilia from Adamawa State. So let's have the questions coming. And this is from Kaduna State, Nigeria. This is Alex Paul from Kaduna State, Nigeria. Says, Shalom, sir. I think there is a mistake in Genesis 22, verse 16. God referring Isaac as the only son of Abraham. What of Ishmael? Genesis 22, verse 16.
Let's see the way it is put there.
Okay, Genesis 22, 16 says, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou had done this thing and had not withheld thy son, thy only son.
Yes.
Okay.
Because at this point,
mm.
Ishmael has been separated from him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That was the only one now with him.
Yes.
That yes. one has gone.
Yes, sir.
The only one with him.
Mm.
And that very child of promise that mm. God promised him.
Yes, sir.
And now you are saying, take him mm. and go and sacrifice him. Mm. That's why. The use language the is used like that.
All right. God bless you, Brother Alex from Kaduna State. God bless you. We have more questions coming in. And this is coming from Cameroon. Blessing Azise from Cameroon, Bamenda. Says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. We say Shalom as well. Please, Pastor, help me to explain how to study the Bible in details. Okay. How to study the Bible in details. This question also came during the Bible Club. Rolling, they gave answers he could give. So I think they want to also hear from you personally how to study.
Well, there is no law
mm.
given. I mean, no details of how you should study the Bible. We're mm. only told to study.
Mm.
But now, he then said that you should study to show thyself approved unto God.
God. Amen.
And that Apostle Paul was telling Timothy that since you were a child, mm. you have known the Holy Scripture that is able to make thee wise yes. unto salvation.
Yes.
So there are scriptures that have no salvation virtue,
yes,
and there are scriptures that have salvation virtue.
Yes,
and in studying the Bible, first, I like to let the people read from Genesis to Revelation and have a broad knowledge mm-hmm. of at least the stories.
Okay.
The statements
mm-hmm.
in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So then, when you finish reading all that,
mm-hmm.
then start again now to try to understand it now topic by topic.
Okay.
And one way of doing that is to go pick a book
okay.
that is written by non-authorities, not the ones that will confuse you.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you can't even be confused if you have read through, because mm-hmm. when a wrong analogy is made, you mm-hmm. will quickly remember another thing you have read that mm-hmm. will counter it
yeah.
or that will support it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the way to read it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to read and study. And remember, it is to Jesus when I come, we are still studying.
Okay.
We are, you know, become clearer and clearer. You can see me making corrections because I was studying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just it, nothing more. Make it a point of duty that every day you because you have an assignment to cover the book.
Mm.
Read it as if you have an examination to write.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, read it as if you are going to face questions later.
Yeah.
It will help you, and read it with all attention.
Mm.
And that is just it, nothing more.
Okay.
It becomes part of you. Any day I don't read, I'm not comfortable.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's interesting, but could we still say, does listening, for a lot of people now in our time have the audio Bible, does it still play the same part?
Whichever way, you okay. know, I prefer the book form because I can mark.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, yeah. I can mark certain emphasis yeah. which I may make reference to later.
Okay.
But if you're just going to listen, you can be distracted.
Yes.
listening, you may not have the desired attention. But whatever it is, we're in an age now where everything is now electronic. And so the electronic age, the digital age may be different from we, the analog and the book, paper, or no matter what, paper, Bible is preferable to me. But I also have the audio, you know, before I sleep every day, I listen to the audio.
Okay.
I downloaded it, listen to it. So it just keep refreshing my memory, keep refreshing my memory. But I don't run away from my Bible because I am Mark. I refer to it, I come back to it. Just make the Bible your friend, that's all.
All right. God bless you, sister. Blessing.
Companion.
God bless you, sister. Blessing. All right, we have other questions coming in. And okay, we hit this question. It says, may the grace of God through the word abode in us as we walk towards the more perfect days. We say amen. Please, Pastor, I wish you help straighten my path of understanding that I may overcome some doubts in me. There's this emphasis we have been laying that we must see the temple in Israel before the rapture take place. We all suggest that the war in Ezekiel 38, chapter 38 and chapter 39 will be as a result of the grappling the estate in which this temple is supposed to be built. To my understanding, I suggest that the temple will be built after Israel must have won the war, because if it will be built before the war, it may likely be destroyed because more concentration will be focused on that
point. No, we teach that it will be built after the Ezekiel 38, 39 war.
Okay.
We didn't say it will be built before the war.
I actually know that it is to be revealed to the bride and not to his follower. Can one be insincere if he gives to God more than he promised to give? Okay, I think that's another question. Brother Ganimex from the Emirates.
The important is that what you promise to give is included in what you have given. I think that's a straightforward.
All right. God bless you, Brother Ganymes from the Emirates. God bless you. Okay, this is from Mercy. Okay, Chuku Mercy from South Africa. Says, shalom to the bride of Christ. What do I say? Shalom to you as well. Shalom to Pastor Moses and Brother Oba. We say shalom. My question goes this way. Why should God allow his children to suffer sickness, hardship, poverty, shame, and so on, when he said, you shall not be put to shame? People mock you and mock your God because of what you are going through. This is Mercy from South Africa.
No. God, let me use the layman language.
Okay.
God loves us too much to allow us to suffer shame.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he said, they that trust in him, will not be ashamed.
Mm.
One, what is trust in him is faith in him. So you will suffer when you don't have faith in him. Secondly, he said, they that know their God, they shall be strong. And they will do exploits.
Amen.
If you are not strong, opposite of strength is weakness. It says, they that know their God. So, if you are weak, it means you don't know your God. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says, ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the Bible says, when you come to Christ, you come to Mount Zion. We have come upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, but you possess it. This sign shall follow them that believe. The only reason why many of us suffer is just two reasons more. Let me give two more reasons.
Okay.
The only reason is where we see in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and verse 2.
Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
So, sin. Sin is the reason. And we see that perfectly in Zechariah chapter 3.
Zechariah chapter 3.
From verse 1.
From verse 1, it says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand
to resist him. A demon was there to resist him.
And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee.
They were doing Satan. Deliverance on him. And what was happening? The demon remained there.
Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee.
He was quoting who the high priest is, but Satan remained there.
Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments.
That was the reason.
And stood before the angel.
Nothing but your garment. And they needed a garment change. The next verse tells us that he ordered a change of a garment.
Yes, verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, take away the filthy garments from him.
You remember that all Israel were under a covenant that God had with Abraham, and it included Jacob was under that covenant. But you saw when they took Rachel took the idols of his father Laban and was going with them. What happened? Laban pursued after them. But by the time you come to Genesis 35, he said, we are going to God's presence. What did he say? Put away the strange things. And when they put those things away, he said, fear came upon the nation that they were passing through. Because remember, the accuser of the brethren, you know, is defeated, is overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And that blood is speaking. If you are not under that blood, the blood cannot speak for you. So the last reason I want to give is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Okay.
It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because ye shall know the truth, knowledge, and it's what you know that will set you free. So I want you to take note of that, that God does not allow Satan to buffet us, because the power that Satan has over us was nailed on the cross on Calvary. In John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Serpent that was killing them was hanging on the cross. And all our sicknesses and all our iniquities were nailed on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
And if you look up to him, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
The problem is it's lack of faith, sin, and lack of knowledge. Simple. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. God bless you. Okay, we have a call, and that's Sister Esther from Jos. Sister Esther, God bless you and shalom. Please go on with your question.
Good evening.
Good evening. God
Sister
bless you.
Sister Esther from Jos.
Yes, yes. I want to ask a question.
Sister Esther, God bless you.
And my question is, in doing business, let's say you buy goods and store it, waiting until the price shoot up in the market before you sell it. Am I right or wrong? That's what I want to know.
Well, you are both right and wrong. Because, the Bible forbids hoarding.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see about your question. It's in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26. It says, He that withholdeth corn, that is hoarding, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that sell it.
Okay.
So, because when you hoard, you create an artificial scarcity. And therefore, the price goes up. For that is the purpose of hoarding, so that you maximize profit. But the people are suffering because poor people will not be able to afford it. And there is a season where God provides for harvest, for everybody to have something to eat. But you hoard it, and so in Israel, God forbid it. And I believe now, if you are into the business of hoarding, I know that some people are suffering because of it. But it's okay. Why I say you are wrong,
anyway.
Why I say you are wrong and right is that everything, there is no law in the land that forbids you from buying and stocking. That is, I don't know of any law, maybe lawyers may know it, that you can be prosecuted for it. But everybody knows what they do to maximize profit. But as Christians, we are not just guided by the loss of the land, but also by the loss of our kingdom. So okay. I don't expect Christians to go into such business. Now, people will suffer as a result of. God bless you. But I want to give you the pastor's number. And in case there is any other person in Jos, his name is Pastor Osas. And it's Pastor Osas.
Yes, I copied the number. I copied the number last time.
You will have it's gone there to
I have not visited him.
No, you can go there. I can call it again for the sake of those who may not have gotten it before. 0806-766-9090. I call it again. 0806-766-9090. Pastor Osas in Jos. In Jos, Pastor Osas is the pastor of the church in Jos. If you call him and any other person watching us from Jos, people have been enjoying fellowship there. He also has a very powerful prophetic gift and is a teacher of the word. So he'll be a blessing to you people there in Jos.
Okay, I will try that.
Yes, he just reported there a few months ago. So, and the church is getting revived there.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. God bless you, Sister Esther from Jos. And I believe the brethren are copying that number. Thank you. Okay, so we have other questions coming in. And we take this question. Good evening, Pastor. Please, there was an argument between me and my church, and I was trying to prove to them that what Adam and Eve ate in the garden was not physical fruit. Please, can you enlighten me more on that issue? Brother Ogochukwu from Cameroon. I believe we've answered this question today already.
Yeah, we've already answered it. What they ate was not a literal fruit. Was not a literal fruit, certainly. So which fruit? Well, there are still fruits now. The fruit disappeared. They say apple. Apple is sold everywhere now. Exactly. What God hate that day, he still hates it now.
Amen.
It's false doctrine they listened to. They digested and then they acted on it. Contrary to the word of God. Amen. Simple.
All right. We are sure somebody wants to take a cup of water and somebody else is trying to digest all that he or she has learned or has had today. Okay, we're going to go on a short break, a very brief break. And when we are back, still ask the pastor. God bless you.